They owe, and it's off to work they go.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The state of California has been a bit of a laughingstock for all of its recent IOUs. It's certainly not alone in its money woes, and it is, after all, the state with the biggest budget. Today, at least, it's one big step closer to resolving its cash crisis. Last night, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger reached a deal with legislative leaders to close the state's $26 billion deficit, but there's still a lot of pain ahead. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
The deal would cut $6 billion from public schools and community colleges, more than $1 billion from the state prison system, and another $1.3 billion from the state's health care program for the poor. Governor Schwarzenegger had proposed eliminating the state's welfare-to-work program and health insurance for poor children, but Democratic Majority Leader Karen Bass says those programs survived.
We wanted to make sure that during this time of economic recession, when people need services more, that we did not eliminate the safety net.
In exchange for deep cuts to social programs, Republican lawmakers avoided new tax increases. The legislature is expected to vote on the deal later this week. If it passes, it could resolve the state's cash crisis. For 2 weeks, the comptroller's office has been sending out IOUs to its vendors and contractors. Officials hope a balanced budget will allow the state to get short-term loans to cover its daily expenses. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Here we are with more gains on Wall Street. Yesterday, the S&P 500 climbed more than 1%, as did the NASDAQ and Dow. The Dow closed at 8848, up 104 points. European stocks are mostly higher. Stocks in London, Frankfurt, and Paris up around 0.5%. Asian markets were mixed today, but the Nikkei added about 2.5%. The Hang Seng was flat. As a debate over health care continues in the United States Congress, there's a new survey that says the number of the uninsured will keep going up. Blame it on smaller employers getting rid of their health plans and a tough individual insurance market. Jill Barchet reports.
Buying health insurance on your own is maddening. Lots of fine print, exclusions for pre-existing conditions, and the cost. Sarah Collins works at the Commonwealth Fund. It's a nonpartisan healthcare foundation. She says the individual insurance market is getting worse.
People who are buying their own health insurance are paying significantly more in premiums than people with employer-based coverage, but they're getting a lot less for their money in terms of protection against high out-of-pocket costs and access to preventive care and other services that they need on a regular basis.
The Commonwealth Fund survey found 73% of people who tried to buy insurance on their own over the past 3 years ended up buying no insurance at all. Collins says with many small businesses eliminating health benefits, the number of Americans without health insurance is sure to rise. Lawmakers agree the individual insurance market needs to change. They're fighting over President Obama's fix this week. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
You know, there's been a fierce battle about whether money for 7 more F-22 jets should be included in a defense spending policy bill that's before Congress. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the $1.75 billion can be better spent on waging unconventional battles in Iraq and Afghanistan. But some senators whose states are instrumental in making those jets say they're worried that that would affect tens of thousands of jobs. And they point to other countries, namely China and Russia, which are both developing fighter jets to compete with the F-22. President Obama has said he would veto the plan if the F-22 money is included.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Construction workers in hard hats and overalls
South Africa's unemployment rate is officially over 23%. The country's already shed almost 200,000 jobs this year due to the financial crisis. Yet many of those who are working are dissatisfied. Africa's biggest economy has been rattled by a series of strikes just as it enters its first recession in years. As Gretchen Wilson explains from Johannesburg, the wave of unrest has to do with a shift in the country's political administration as much as the economic hard times.
Construction workers in hard hats and overalls demonstrate in the streets of Johannesburg, demanding double-digit wage increases. 34-year-old Bulalane Nkaza is a carpenter. Last week, he was one of 70,000 laborers who downed tools at stadiums being built for the Soccer World Cup. He makes about $10 a day, but says he needs more money to support his family.
I need the money because I have children. I support children at school, but this money that I got here, nothing can I do with it.
Construction workers got a 12% pay hike, and they're not alone in resorting to industrial action. In the past few months, there's hardly a sector here that hasn't gone on strike or threatened to do so. Teachers, gold miners, municipal workers, television employees. South Africa's new president, Jacob Zuma, took office in May. He ran on a populist platform backed by the country's labor unions and Communist Party. Dale McKinley is a political analyst in Johannesburg.
Zuma has arisen on a ticket of a promise of reducing inequality and reducing poverty for the vast majority of black South Africans.
Now many workers want Zuma to pressure public and private sector employers to raise wages. Consumer inflation is at 8%. Food and electricity prices are up as much as a third from last year. Zuma now has to find a balance between fiscal discipline and labor's pent-up demands.
This administration came into a ship which was already full of water.
Makulule Lukele is an orthopedic surgeon with the South African Medical Association. He says doctors in the public health system have had grievances for years, but they often went ignored by Zuma's predecessor, Thabo Mbeki. Last month, thousands of doctors walked out of government hospitals in a wildcat strike.
It takes a lot of frustration. It's painful for a doctor to do that.
The wave of industrial action isn't over. 65,000 workers in the petroleum, paper, and chemical sectors just said they plan to strike over pay. And eyes are on South Africa's new president to see whether he will blink. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.